Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. We have a very special show for you this evening. My guest is Rabbi Matatya Shitrit, who has had a very interesting, a very amazing spiritual life journey, and would love to hear all about it. Good evening, Rabbi Shitrit.
Good evening.
Now, I read your biography. You seem to have had a very successful career in Switzerland for a software company in the early 90s. And obviously, at the time at least, Judaism was not your main concern. And yet, all of a sudden, you came to the conclusion that you needed far more than the thrill of business, far more than the success of business. What exactly happened? How did you come to become a frum yid? How did you come to become, you know, a rabbi that teaches others?
Well, to tell you the truth, from even before I was interested in Judaism, I was taking steps to advance myself in Torah and Mitzvot. But when I went to Switzerland, it gave me time to think. It's like when you get away, when you go away from where you are, so you kind of take yourself out of your environment where you're used to, and then you're kind of free to explore different avenues. So when I went out of where I, my environment, my home environment, allowed me to investigate, and little by little I started taking courses, I started learning more about Torah, and eventually when I came back, I decided that I felt that I wanted to go to a yeshiva program. It wasn't an overnight kind of thing, but it was gradually I took upon myself more mitzvahs, and eventually I came to the realization that I wanted to enroll myself in yeshiva because of the beauty that I found in the Torah.
Then let me ask you the question differently. You went to yeshiva and you say that that's where you found the secret of happiness. What was missing in your life before you went to a yeshiva, and what is it that you found in the yeshiva that suddenly seemed to answer a need, the particular need for happiness?
Well, apparently the thing is that I had a kind of frame of mind that thinking that if I experienced a certain amount of pleasures, and that would bring me happiness. But ultimately, I realized that it wasn't pleasure that brings a person happiness. So I saw that learning Torah was very sweet and interesting and spiritually uplifting. When I went to the yeshiva, so I gained that satisfaction. But it's not only that I gained that, but it was like a new perspective that I had. Once I was listening to, I'm not sure, I heard something someplace that if a person consumes too much sugar, so it could make a person depressed. So I was a little bit surprised by that, because I was thinking, if sugar is pleasurable and a person consumes sugar, so how come it could make a person depressed? It kind of woke me up, just that fact, woke me up to the idea that it's not pleasure that's going to give a person happiness. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people think that if they have enough pleasure, they're going to get, they're going to attain this happiness. But I don't think that there's that connection. There is a certain connection to it, but it's not any pleasure. I believe that there's two different kinds of pleasures that a person can have. There's pleasures that are going to bring a person closer to Hashem and Torah and mitzvahs, And then there's pleasures that bring a person away from Hashem and Torah and Mitzvah. So it's not just any pleasure. If a person enjoys, the person does pleasures that are going to bring him closer to Hashem, I think that's what's ultimately going to bring a person happiness. It's interesting, I was in one of the Tehillim, it says in Mizmor LeDavid, we say it on right before, sometimes in Suda Shlishit, Hashem Roi Lo Atsar, Hashem is my shepherd, I will not lack. It says, Shivticha Umishanticha Hema in a Chamuni. So David HaMelech, he says that Shivticha is your staff, Umishanticha is your kind of your cane. So they are going to give me consolation. So if you, so the question is that there's, I can understand the cane, that the cane is going to give a person consolation because it gives him respite from having to limp or having to help him to walk. But it says, Shivtifa is your rod, which means that he was sometime being struck by this rod. And even though that he was struck by the rod, it was giving him consolation. But what was the consolation? Consolation that he was becoming closer to Hashem. Sometimes when a person has suffering, so he feels closer to Hashem. So that's the secret. The secret is that even though that it's not a matter of whether a person is having pleasure or not having pleasure, that's going to bring happiness. It's the closeness to Hashem that's what's going to bring a person happiness. If he's doing pleasures, he's having pleasures, that's very good. But as long as they're bringing him closer to Hashem, that's where he'll be able to retain that happiness. Even sometimes in difficult situations, he'll be able to have this happiness because because he's getting closer to Hashem.
Plus, the fact that a lot of the pleasures are at best only momentary and then leave the person empty anyway, unless there is some spiritual lasting value to the pleasure. Now,
right.
When you were in Israel, you started out the magazine. What was that about? What was the magazine? What was the purpose of it?
The purpose of it was for a person to... the idea behind the magazine was basically that a lot of people, they go to the Eretz Yisrael, and they're searching for a spiritual uplifting, because they know that in Eretz Yisrael, that's where they'll be able to find it. But what happens, they go to different sites, and unfortunately, they miss out on the different aspects of Eretz Yisrael that are going to bring them higher in the spiritual realm. So what our magazine did was to give people the opportunity to find different places that would bring them, to give them the spiritual pleasure that they were seeking, like a place where they could go for Shabbat, which yeshivas to go to. There's different organizations for college students and things like that. So we published a magazine that told a person all about different spiritual avenues to explore when they're in Eretz Yisrael, to not only gain from the tourism, but also gain from the spirituality there. And the idea also was for a person to discover themselves. Because basically, that's also part of this, the idea that you were mentioning about the happiness, is that when a person really discovers himself and he's his true self, he or she is their true self, so that's when they actually attain happiness. The question is how is a person going to find their true selves? Is by determining what is their true selves. And what is that? We have the body and we have the soul. So a lot of people think by giving pleasure to the body, that's what's going to give them the happiness. But in reality, since we're also composed, we're composed of the soul, and that's really the essence of the person, by giving pleasure to the soul, that's and becoming closer to oneself and and giving it the pleasures that it wants, like learning Torah, doing the mitzvahs, becoming closer to Hashem, not only does a person become themselves, but by becoming themselves, that's where they really attain their true happiness. So that's how the magazine, that was the idea behind the magazine, for a person to reach, to discover themselves through spirituality in Eretz Yisrael. Then afterwards, when we continued the magazine, and we added, but we put it online, and it went to, we used to sell books online, but then we stopped that. And now we're just, we're giving different Torah outlook on the site in order for people to realize their potential and become closer to attaining their true and discovering their true selves.
Okay. I'm looking at your magazine, and you have a very interesting post from a couple of days ago on the plant experiment. Speaking nicely makes them grow better. Care to explain that?
Right. So there was an experiment that was done by we did it in our family for one of the science projects that we had. Basically, we had three plants. One plant that we were was talked nice to, and then there was another plant that was not said. Nothing was said to them. To the plant, and then the last one was it spoke some harsh words were spoken to it, not you know very harsh, but not. So then afterwards, after a couple of days, we investigated the plant and we looked at the plant and we saw that the one that we spoke that spoke nice to was spoken nicely to, so that one grew the most out of all of them. So. Very substantially, and the other ones were like basically budding while the other one was coming out of the ground and really excelling out of the other plants. So it's a big lesson in several aspects. First of all, regarding when we talk with other people, so we should always use a positive language, trying to bring the people up, trying to bring our children, especially our children, our spouses, our family, speak in a positive manner, try to bring people up, not to bring them down, because it has a great effect on the growth of the person. But there's also another aspect is that when a person is speaking with themselves, every day a person has their own messages that they give to themselves. So sometimes a person is going to use negative messages, but a person really, according to the Torah, we should be building up ourselves and trying to recognize our greatness, not bringing ourselves down. Because by recognizing our greatness, so that's how we can really excel and really become the best that we can be. There's sometimes people, they think that they have to be humble. Of course we have to be humble, but the idea is to understand what humility is. So humility isn't saying, I'm nothing, I don't know anything. Humility is recognizing your potential, recognizing your qualities.
Recognizing one's true worth, and yet recognizing that potentially one could be worth that much more.
Right, but recognizing all of that and at the same time giving the credit to Hashem. Because what the person,
right.
Sometimes the person, what he does is that he says, yes, I'm good at this, and it's kochi ve'otzem yadi, it's my force. But really that's not, you could say, yes, I'm very good at, I'm a very good piano player, but it all came from because Hashem gave me this talent. And that's not
right.
Considered to be it's not considered to be arrogant or haughty. It's considered to be truthful. But I think that one of the very important points that we should try to focus on is building up ourselves. Because unfortunately, I think one of the main ways for a person to reach a higher level and reach his potential is to recognize his inherent greatness. when he recognizes his inherent greatness, and then he's able to reach heights that he hasn't been able to before. And there's many different things that a person has to do in order to do this. We have like a card. Some of the cards that we offer on our website is one is called the You Are Special card, and it tells 34 reasons why a person should feel special. And I think that that's a very important point, that we have to try to bring ourselves up and recognize our inherent greatness and believe in ourselves. If we believe in ourselves, then we'll be able to achieve much more than what we would have thought.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned on your website about speaking nicely to flowers. Dr. Zamir Cohen, a famous scientist who became a Baal Tshuva and a big Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim, in one of his books brings down an experiment done in Japan by a university professor, where he takes two petri dishes, fills them up with water, and with one of them he always speaks softly and says very nice words. To the other one, he's very, very harsh and screams. After they freeze, and he studies them in under the microscope, he finds that the one that he spoke nicely has beautiful symmetrical shapes. The other one has the beginning of shapes, but the shapes are truncated. They are never fully complete. So if that happens with water, which most of us consider on an even lower level than flowers, flowers at least have a life of their own. Water does not. Imagine, therefore, what the effect must be on a human when we speak nicely or when we don't.
Right. That's a very good point also, because, yeah, I remember seeing that in that book. I really appreciated that book as well. And I believe that one of the conclusions that they came up with was that's another reason why it's good for when a person says the brachas, you should say them out loud, and it also has a beneficial, apparently, effect on the food itself, on the drinks that a person's going to drink, because you're saying positive words when eating and drinking.
Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that brachas and tfilos in general, the main purpose is to refine the human being saying it, to refine him to the point where he becomes a worthy vessel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings. Let's face it. You
right.
cannot put something in a vessel that is not fit for that vessel. By refining ourselves, we do become fit vessels. Now, when you came back to the States, you started out an organization called Or Binyamin. What is that about?
Well, Or Binyamin is kind of a continuation of our trying to help people to reach their potential from that we tried with Jerusalem Life. Now, what Or Binyamin is doing is we're reaching out to people by giving out free Shabbat care packages, Jewish gift bags that contain
what does a Shabbat care package consist of?
Well, it consists of candle holders. It consists of candles for people to light the candles. We have an explanation of Shabbat, the times of lighting candles. It contains the cards that explain which brachas are said on which foods. We have Asher Yatzar, which is for good health. That is the bracha after a person washes his hands after they did their needs. And we have other cards that included like the You Are Special card, the happiness card that tells 13 principles of the Rambam and the six constant mitzvahs, and other things that we include. Sometimes we put in some candy, sometimes we put in some Pirkei Avot, and basically we give them out for free so that a person that either is never really lit candles, or maybe some person that didn't light candles, and they know someone who didn't light candles, so they'll be motivated to like that. A lot of the times, most of the time, a person wants to do the mitzvahs, but it's not. They need a little bit of a helping hand. So Or Binyamin goes out towards these people, and we try to give them a helping hand to make it a little easier for them to fulfill the mitzvah. And many times they do.
How do you go about finding the people, or how do they find you?
That's a very good question. We have different manners of approaching people. First of all, sometimes we speak with different organizations, like different college organizations or different synagogues or rabbis, and we give them our material, and they distribute it. Sometimes there's a rabbi that wants to give a lecture on, let's say, saying the brachas on food, so they take the cards, they give out the cards to their participants. Sometimes we give out the packages to people who deal with the college crowd, so that they'll be able to give them to the students there. And sometimes what we do is we go on the street and we distribute them to people on the street, and anyone who's interested, we give it to them for free, so that they'll be able to experience the mitzvah of lighting candles, of saying the brachas, and that's the way that we try to approach them.
Okay, now the whole point of this is to become a complete person, to understand oneself, to know who one is, and thus become successful. How do you define success?
That's a very good point. See, a lot of times a person thinks that success means financial success. But in reality, well, success could mean like financial success, but that's the way that they see it, that success is financial success. But in reality, if you look at it, you could have, let's say, a person who made it to the top. They're doing tremendously well financially, but either they're not happy, or they don't feel the satisfaction, or they're still on a level of not being a good person. So, like, for instance, if you see a person that's financially a success, but he's still insulting his employees or other people, and he's acting in a rotten way. So I don't know if anyone would really call this person a success, even if he was making lots of money. So apparently that's
well,
not
you the
have
real
the
success. Example of some lottery winners who won a few hundred millions, and yet they have miserable lives, even worse now that they have that money than before they had the money. So obviously money by itself is not enough. It's not a solution at all.
Right.
There has to
absolutely
be something much more than that.
Right, absolutely. So in terms of success, we define success as being what a person can achieve in life. Now, we found that success, a person really finds true success is only through Torah. How come? Because through the Torah, a person becomes a better person. And then he learns how to act with his fellow, and he learns how to talk with his fellow, and he learns not to speak badly about others, and he learns to reach higher heights by through the Torah. Like, for instance, one of the indicators of how great of a person is after a person passes away, you see how many people went to their burial. So, like, for instance, if you see a rich person, let's say there was a person who was a tremendous success, okay, maybe you'll have 500, 1,000 people come to. But if you ever see the Gedolim, they should all live for 120 years, but if the past Gedolim, there's hundreds of thousands of people that came to their funeral. Why? Because they see the intrinsic, the greatness that they achieve through the Torah and through the mitzvah. So we see that real success is through Torah and mitzvah. And like there's different success. Different people are going to reach their potential in different ways. Like, first of all, a person has to try to find out what their potential is. Find out what the how to reach their potential is going to depend on what their purpose is. There was a story that someone was telling, I think it was Avigdor Miller, and I believe that Rabbi Akiva Katz, he mentions this story about a person, and he told, he wanted to get a package delivered, and he told the driver, I want you to, when you go to get this package and bring it back to New York, but when you go, please make sure, follow all the road signs, don't drive too fast, check the engine, add the oil, and be careful when you're driving, take the proper rests. So the person did that, and then when he came back, he went through the whole trip, and he said, oh, look, you know, I'm very happy that I went, and I did all everything that you told me. I acted in the proper way. I drove properly. I filled the car with gas, with oil and everything. But he said, did you deliver the package? So I said, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to deliver the package. So the thing is that each person has a purpose in life. Every single individual has a purpose to achieve in this life. And after 120 years, so Hashem is going to ask him, did you deliver the package, so to speak? How is a person going to find out what his purpose is going to depend upon what their interests are, but it has to have something that's linked to the Torah. So when a person learns Torah, so he's able to find out how they're going to reach their potential and reach their purpose in life. Like a good place to start to learn what a person's purpose is to read the first chapter of Mesilat Yesharim. But also it also depends on if a person is a man or a woman as well. A man has a certain way to reach his potential, and a woman has a different way to reach her potential. In the Torah, one of the ways for the man to reach his potential is through Limud Torah, and specifically, if he learns Gemara, Talmud, so that helps him to recognize what to evaluate situations, but also to grow and to have a broader view of the world and to reach higher heights in serving Hashem. But for the woman, there's a different way of reaching those heights. And it's through tzlinut, like, for instance, Jewish modesty. When a woman acts in a way that is modest according to the Torah, so that helps her to bring out all of her force, her inner force. Sometimes a woman might want appreciation by external, by appealing to the external environment. But really, when a woman does that, it might have an adverse effect. Why? Because instead of a person appreciating her for her insides, they're not appreciating her for what she's, for her true value. So when a person is tanua, so everybody appreciates her for her beautiful inside, and that's the greatness of the Jewish daughter. So then afterwards, when a woman is concentrating on her beautiful inside, so then that's where she's able to bring out all of her force, bring out all of her potential and bring it outside so that she'll be able to help others. We see some of the greatest women are like one of the greatest women of the recent generations was like, let's say, the mother of the Chafetz Chaim. once the Chafetz Chaim, he saw the siddur of his mother, and he started to cry. And then someone asked him, "Why are you crying?" So he said, "Because my mother, she spilled so many tears, so that I would become a great person in great Talmid Chacham, a great Torah scholar." That it moved me when I saw this book, when I saw this siddur. So it says in the Masechet Brachot, when it's talking about women, it says, how does a woman achieve? How do they get their main merit? So it says that by helping their children learn Torah, and also by helping their husband to learn Torah as well. A woman, she gets a lot of, she gets half of all of the mitzvot that her husband does. So the woman that wants to get the most, she would encourage her husband to learn Torah, because every word of Torah that a person learns, it's like he's getting all 613 commandments. He gets 613 mitzvot for every
right.
mitzvah that he does. So for every word that he learns. So, and the wife that wants her husband to get afterwards in the next world all this reward, one of her main sources that she'll be able to gain the reward from would be from his Torah learning and from the Torah learning of her children. So that's why it makes sense for a woman to...
Now, let me ask you one question. To put it in practical terms, each one of us was given different kishronot, okay, different capabilities. Each one of us was put here on this plane of existence for a specific purpose. However, that purpose was never fully spelled out. It is up to the individual to find out what is his or her exact purpose. In practical terms, how does one go about finding out what one's purpose is?
Well, there's different ways. First of all, is by investigating what are their interests. Like, for instance, if they see that they have certain talents regarding, let's say, art or writing or other kind of capabilities. So it's possible that their purpose has something to do with writing, like maybe it is for writing Jewish novels, or maybe writing books on Torah, or things like that. Or if the person's artistic, maybe it's to make beautiful Jewish paintings that are going to to inspire people. There's or to make different beautiful Jewish Judaica, things of that nature. But it's usually that a person is going to have these capabilities that are going to serve other people. There's sometimes when a person is going to be like, maybe he's very good in science or something like that, that's going to help use science in order to help other people, like maybe a person being a doctor and things like that. But he has to recognize that the focus is to help serve Hashem. A person can do almost any job and still be serving Hashem. It depends on what his outlook is. Like, for instance, let's take a milkman. So you could have a milkman that's delivering, and his whole interest is to just make the money because he's delivering. But there's another person his whole interest is to help other people, and because he likes to deliver milk, but he's also getting paid for it. So it depends on what he's doing. If his intention is to help serve other people, so then he's getting more of a mitzvah. If he's doing it just for the money, so then he's not getting a mitzvah. So it depends. A person can serve Hashem in many different aspects. If he's a doctor and he's doing it because he knows that he feels like he wants to help other people and he wants to make people feel better, so that's a big mitzvah. But if he's doing it just for the parnasa, so he's doing a mitzvah, but it's not as great. So everything, there's once someone that I was speaking with said that they're like a recreational director, for a, I believe it was a hospital. So I said, if you're doing it to help other people, and you're doing it because Hashem says that it's a mitzvah to help other people, so then you get a much greater mitzvah than if you're just doing it so that you'll receive the paycheck. So sometimes you're just changing by changing a little bit of
changing one's attitude.
The mindset, the attitude or the mindset is going to make the person achieve their potential. But in order to find it, there's two things. First, seeing what their interests are, learning about the Torah, finding out what makes a person motivated, what he likes to do, what he's successful at in terms of Torah. But there's also sometimes things that are difficult. That's also one of his challenges. So he has to overcome the challenges that are difficult for him, because sometimes he has to make a tikkun, make a reparation from other lives and things like that. But usually, in order to reach the potential, he should try to find out how he can help serve the Jewish, the people, do the mitzvahs in a way that's going to help other people, and that's going to do a kiddush Hashem, and that's going to help people in general, and that's going to help the Torah world and the world at large.
How does one get in touch with Or Binyamin?
How does one? Well, there's many different ways that you can get in touch. We have our website, and we have our information that's on our website. Like, let's say there's a person that wants to get some bracha cards, or get that they want to distribute, let's say, to a community, or let's say they want one for themselves, or they have some people that they know that they want to, that they would like to give to other people. So we have ordering online under JerusalemLife.com. And they can just type it in online, and there's a place that's called Freebies, and then they'll be able to click on that, and they can order all the different materials that we have.
Are there any phone numbers they can call?
They can call. I have a phone number that they can call or text, which is 718-962-4872, but there's also right. They can email me, which the email is over there, JENET@INAME. If they're interested in any Judaica as well. If also we have different programs, like let's say there's a person that some of the programs that we have is one is 5 minutes of learning. Let's say there's a person who's interested in learning Torah. And it's difficult for him to get out of his office, so we will learn with them over the phone for 5 minutes during the week, so that they'll be able to maintain a learning schedule. We also offer a possibility of, let's say there's a person who has means and they want to do a particular project, and but they don't have the time or they don't have other. They don't have the resources or the other physical resources. So what we do is we will implement a project based upon what their interests are. Now, right, so those are different things that we offer. There's another interesting thing that we have, which is when we deliver. I wanted to mention something. This is a little bit about the materials that we do give. Sometimes people are very, very appreciative of the material. Sometimes a person is a little bit reluctant to approach an individual to say, you know, would you like a bracha card or would you like something? But you'd be surprised how appreciative the people are. I remember there was once a woman that I met in Forest Hills, and she was a Holocaust survivor. And she said, so I saw that since she mentioned she was a Holocaust survivor, I said the people who survived the Holocaust must have a big merit that they went through such a difficult time, and they're still believing and still serving Hashem properly. So I asked her for a bracha. So when I asked her for the bracha, she said certain things. And afterwards she said, you know, for many years, I felt like an empty shell of a person. But since you gave me these materials, now I feel life again. So it's interesting how much a person can really appreciate these materials. We don't know how much we can do for another person by just giving them sometimes a card that tells them what the brachas are. Most of the time, people want to do the mitzvot. Sometimes the only thing that's stopping them is just the knowledge. And when we give them like a little bracha card, or we give them a package that tells them about how to light the candles, they start doing it. I have a lot of people that came up to me and they said, you know, since you gave us these materials, we started lighting candles, we started saying the brachas, and you know, when they receive them, also they're very excited. Some people say, you know, you just made my day. People are very happy. You do a big thing by just giving a person these cards, and by giving them this free Judaica, so it can help a person change their lives, because now they have the knowledge and the ability to serve Hashem in an easy manner, in an easier manner, by just having this little bracha card or Shabbat package or other things that we give them.
Okay, we are just about out of time, but this has been very, very interesting. I'd like to pursue this further at another occasion. Maybe we will invite you back for a show. We'd love to talk to you about so many different subjects that time did not allow us to cover. In any case,
yeah.
Thank you very, very much for being on our show. It was very interesting, very informative. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, one and all.
Thank you
very much.
God bless.
Bye. Bye-bye.